Today, I would like for us to look at a section of Scripture in Matthew chapter 5. Reason being that everybody always talks about love. Oh, I just love you, somebody will say. And what the world needs now is love. Oh, they sing about it. They talk about it all the time. Love is a great thing. Certainly don't deny that. But we need to understand what it takes to love somebody, what it's truly all about. And secondly, we need to understand how far that love should extend. Jesus had a great lesson on love in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43. He said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what are you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now consider these passages and these verses from verse 43 to verse 48 in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said that our love was to be perfect in extension. There were all kinds of false traditions and interpretations that were set against true righteousness. Jesus had pointed out to his disciples that your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and the reason being is because they really didn't seem to understand the concept of loving your neighbor. He says, "You have heard that it has been said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy,'" but they didn't seem to understand how you deal with people, the best way in which to deal with them. Some people may think that loving your neighbor is a new concept. It most certainly is not. Just because they had a lot of war and things like that in the Old Testament doesn't mean God didn't want them to love their neighbor. In fact, he said so. Leviticus 19 verse 18 told them to love their neighbors. They weren't to be oppressive to the stranger or anything like that. The only reason why there was so much conflict back then is because you had so many of those nations that didn't want to serve God, and then God would remove his protection from Israel when they would stop serving him. And so they had all kinds of conflicts that would arise because of that. Now, in order for us to understand the Old Testament teaching on this, you can go to a lot of different Old Testament passages, but none of them are going to prove to you that you shouldn't care about your fellow man. The most that you can show from the Old Testament by looking at statements that David made, like in the Psalms and so forth, is where he said things like, "Do not I hate them with a perfect hatred?" But when he said that, he was talking, you see, about a situation where people would not serve God. And David said, "It grieves me that they wouldn't serve God." If David truly did not have any love for them, then he would be apathetic about them. He'd say, "Well, you know, it doesn't matter to me what they do, you know, they can just go straight down, doesn't bother me a bit." But instead it did bother him as to what they were doing against the will of God. And that right there expresses the love that David had in his heart for mankind. So far being, the case that David didn't love man, he did love man. It's just simply the case that David loved people doing the will of God. And he's talking about their actions and how they were behaving against God, what they believed against God. And so it is true, as people talk about, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin. And at the same time, it is also true that we should hate every false way, but the person committing that way, we are grieved because of what they commit. And we want them to turn around and to do what's right. Let's look at verse 44. "I say to you, love your enemies," Jesus said. "Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you." Now think about what the opposite would be. Surely the opposite of love your enemies would be hating your enemies. But think about this. Bless those who curse you. Well, the opposite of that would be, you know, cursing those who curse you. Well, you're just pulling yourself right down into the same ditch with them. That you're not going to help yourself doing anything like that. Let God take care of the condemnation, okay? That doesn't mean that you don't know what's right. It doesn't mean you're not standing for what's right. But love means that you're not going to get down in the gutter with the sinners. You're not going to get down in the gutter with sin to commit the same kind of sins that are being done against you. And so if somebody curses you, you don't return cursing to them. Do good to those who hate you. Now, when he says do good to those who hate you, notice this. He isn't saying, well, your attitude is going to be so and so and so and so. He's saying your actions are going to be this way. Nobody enjoys it. You know, nobody feels inside like, oh, this is great that somebody has just cheated me. You know, it's not something that makes you feel good. And yet at the same time, it is something we can learn from and say, well, you know, if I do something good to them in return, maybe it will make them feel ashamed and they'll turn around and see the light of day. Jesus said the best way to deal with it is not responding in kind, but instead you do good to those who hate you. Notice he doesn't say that you just simply say to them that you love them. You actually do good for them. And what does it mean to do good for somebody? It is to do the best for them. What is love? It is the will to do good toward. It is seeking another's highest good. And another's highest good is for us to do good things to them, for them. Things that let them see the truth of God. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them if they're spewing forth hateful things or things that are false or bad doctrine. It doesn't mean that you have to agree with their lifestyle. What it means is that you yourself personally are doing good deeds for and to them. And in doing so, you will, as the Bible talks about, heap coals of fire upon their head. You will hopefully bring them to shame so that they can see how that they should turn unto God and serve God themselves. He says, pray for those who spitefully use you. You see, they don't have you in mind in their prayers. Somebody just spread a rumor about you? That's awful, isn't it? But don't, you know, let that really just get to you. Instead, turn right around and say, well, you know, those people are just sad. I pity them. I should pray for them, that everything will work out well for them. And for those who persecute you, he says, sometimes people just won't leave you alone, hardly will they. Jesus said, why don't you just pray for those people? And so that's the best way to think about it. That's the best attitude to have because Jesus says so right here in verse 44. In verse 45, he said that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. And we're so thankful for that, aren't we? What if God withheld from us good blessings whenever we got into a downtime in our life and we just weren't doing what's right? You see, God doesn't behave that way. God gives you blessings, even though sometimes you're behaving against him. God says, well, I keep doing good things to you, and so he wants us to keep on doing good things to others. Now, as you look here in these verses 44 and 45, he says that these are qualities of people that are sons of God, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. God is like this, therefore we should extend our love to all people, just as God has extended his love to mankind. There are different divisions of love that we need to understand. We love ourselves. Everybody does that. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, it's because you understand love for yourself that you're able to understand love for your neighbor. But there is a higher love, love for others. John 15, verses 12 and 13, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. You love other people and you love your neighbor, as he was teaching here. And then also you have a love of God, a love for God. The love of God directs you through Christ to keep the commandments of God. Once again, read in John 15, but this time back up, starting at verse 9. Notice that this kind of love must be active. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. The love for God is expressed in doing the good deeds that God instructs us to do, not because we came up with them, but because God loves them. This is the love of God, that ye keep his commandments. 1 John 5, verse 3. So then, we must understand that there are different kinds of love, and that all of these loves are to be expressed in the way that God wants them to be. And they're connected with each other. When they asked Jesus about the first and greatest commandment, he referred them back over to Deuteronomy and what the Jews called the Shema there in Deuteronomy 6. And basically what it comes down to is you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And then he said the second is like unto it, you love your neighbor as yourself. These two are connected together. In the book of 1 John, it points out you can't say, well, I just hate people, but I love God. No, your love, if it's going to be for God, must be extended like God's love. It must be for, well, just everybody in general. It must be for their good. When God sent Jesus Christ to this earth, is it because we were already good? Was it so that he could make us good? When he gave himself as a sacrifice, is it because we were already righteous? No, instead, he gave himself for us when we were yet sinners. So let your love be perfect in extension, like the love of God. You're not going to be as faultless as God. When he says, therefore, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect, he's not saying that. But we can extend ourselves to make our love perfect to everyone. That is, it goes out to everyone, everywhere. Now, we love the people of Monroe and surrounding counties at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, and we would love for you to come and to be with us in our worship services. So why not consider listening to this gospel broadcast and coming on out and being with us the next time you have opportunity. Thank you for tuning in this afternoon for the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. I'm Tim McHenry.